This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Lay your head down on my shoulder, don't hold it in your hands. Tell me all your troubles and I'll try to understand. I know your heart's still tender and I know that it still hurts. But things can only get better when it seems they can't get any worse. Hold on to me, I won't let you go. You'll be okay, so hold on.
Hello and welcome to the Fighting Stigma Show here on Free FM 89.0, Tuinga Reo o Te Hapori, and also on Raglan Community Radio, Arrow FM, Otago Access Radio, and Radio Kidnappers. I'm your host today, Vanessa, and I'm in the studio, and Hayes is having a little bit of a break, so it is really awesome to be here. And I'm going to be talking to you about one of my favourite self-care tools, I will have talked about it a little bit, and I think Hayser has talked about it a little bit as well. But it's kind of an expansion on one that I know I've definitely talked about. So I want to talk to you all about unified cutlery theory. Now, it sounds really weird. You may have heard about spoon theory, and if you've heard about spoon theory, you have an idea about kind of what unified cutlery theory is all about. In short, it's just a way of picturing, talking about, acknowledging, planning our physical, emotional, social, spiritual, our health, our well-being, kind of energy levels, what gives us good health, what takes it away. And it's just, I really love it. And it's such a good way, like if you know the terminology and you teach people around you, it makes life so much easier to kind of explain some of the stuff that's going on. But before I get into all that juiciness, I want to have a quick word about our sponsor, Progress to Health.
Progress to Health believes in creating communities without barriers, and to achieve that we tailor supports to adults experiencing mental health and or disabilities based on their goals to encourage recovery, independence and community involvement. Progress to Health has teams that provide peer support, recovery education, workshops, employment preparation and support, including navigation with other services. Service users are allocated a community support facilitator on referral depending on their goals to mental recovery and achievement. We have offices in Hamilton, Tokoroa and New Plymouth. So if that sounds like something you or someone you know might be interested in and you are in the Waikato DHB region, Taranaki or Taupō, then have a listen to this ad I'm about to play for Progress to Health and get in touch with us.
At Progress to Health, we provide a range of support for those who have experienced mental illness. People who have dealt with mental illness and associated disabilities are supported holistically to maximise their potential. We want to empower your journey to recovery. Check out our website, www.progresstohealth.org.nz, or call us free on 0800 77 57 57.
Now, don't stress if you missed any of those contact details for Progress to Health and you think, hey, that'd be really helpful for myself or for someone else you care about. I do play that ad at the end of the show. So stick around, grab a pen and paper, and you'll be able to get all of those details and you'll be able to reach out to Progress to Health. Okay, let's jump into it. So unified cutlery theory. So I'm going to just go through each of the three stages that is currently part of unified cutlery theory. So I originally found spoon theory, I think someone mentioned it when I was in my early on in my recovery journey from mental health, and I looked into it and I found some really great details. So Christine Misradino created it, developed it, and it was just a way for her to be able to describe and explain the difficulties, the physical concerns, the fatigue, the pain, the unwellness that comes from having lupus. And so Christine Misradino first talked about it, it was all about the physical costs. So it was like the energy costs. And what has happened is over the years, so many people have taken up and gone, hey, this is a really, really great way to explain it. And they've actually started using it for mental health concerns, for neurodivergencies, for disabilities, like for anything. And then it's kind of also how like a lot of people use it, and not just in the costs of energy, but also what gives you energy, what gives you spoons. So I found unified cutlery theory online. I think I found it on Reddit, and it was originally put together by someone called Umbral Reaver. And so that's UMBRAL, new word, REAVER. And this was like in 2020, it came through. And it's just because what they've done is they've taken the three different spaces. The original authors are spoon theory, which was from Christine Mezzardino, fork theory, which was from Jen Rose, and knife hypothesis was from Terry Masson. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read out what I found when I looked up unified cutlery theory and found like the post from Umbral Reaver. So unified cutlery theory is a combination of spoon theory, fork theory, and knife theory. Metaphors used to help disabled people explain fatigue and stresses to themselves and abled people. So spoon theory. Spoon theory, the first part of the unified cutlery theory, is the essential element of energy, the spoon. The spoon is an arbitrary unit of capacity for action throughout the day. So it's how much energy, how much ability you have, how capable you are of getting stuff done. A spoon doesn't have to be only physical energy. Mental energy or executive function can all be represented by spoons. I also always make sure I talk about social spoons, because it's like sometimes you just don't have the ability to be around more people or have a conversation or keep your stuff together, right? So you wake up with a certain number of spoons. You always start your day with a certain number of spoons. How many you have depends on you as an individual, your conditions and environment. It's not always the same and may vary from time to time. And throughout the day, you spend those spoons on tasks. Brushing your teeth might be one spoon. Making a meal could be three. A day's work might be six or more. Costs vary between individuals, and for some, a trivial task might be quite costly or vice versa. To a person with limited spoons, this can mean making hard choices between daily activities and can result in reaching the end of the day without the spoons to eat or wash, only sleep. Worse, being severely low on spoons can, for some, make sleep difficult or non-existent. So spoons are only recovered by rest. This is the original how Christine Mezzardino talked about spoons. I have a different kind of theory because my experience in having spent 17 years with Progress to Health and talking to hundreds of people who have mental health concerns and physical disabilities or chronic illnesses, there are definitely things throughout your day that can give you back spoons. As a general rule, spoons get replenished from rest. So spoons are only recovered by rest. As mentioned, being low on spoons can sometimes make even this hard and leave us waking with fewer spoons than expected. It's common to try and save up spoons for a big expenditure, but we have our limits. It's never as much as an enabled person. So say if you give yourself a number of what you think you're like on a good day, how much spoons you have, like what's your total energy capability. And if you have mental health concerns, executive dysfunction issues, physical disability, a long-term chronic illness, that's going to be a lower number than someone who doesn't have those concerns, doesn't have those challenges, doesn't have those disabilities. And so it's knowing that about yourself and knowing that, hey, actually, this person's done all these things. And actually, yeah, we need to be gentle with ourselves because actually they started out with 30 spoons and you started out with 11. And it's simple math at a certain point, right? A common phrase is, I don't have the spoons for this. This means a person feels that engaging in an activity would be too costly to the energy today or even cost them tomorrow's energy as well, or that they're already too low. Be considerate when we say this. For some, spoons can come in different sizes. You may have some large spoons, some small ones, and in this case, it means your allotment of energy can't so easily be consolidated for different tasks. You can keep spending small spoons on little things, but while you don't have enough large ones, even if the total volume of small spoons would add up to it, you simply cannot do it. And that's why that whole thing about like trying to find like the ability to get one big thing done, but you can do a bunch of little things, it kind of feeds into that. Note, the variable spoon sizes are some claim called the spell slot theory of fatigue, which is based on Dungeons and Dragons, D&D, and it's talking about magic users have spell slots and they are at different levels. So if they're, say, a third level wizard, they will have a certain number of level one spell slots, maybe a level two spell slot. And so if they have a level one spell, they can do it up to the number of slots they have. But if they've only they've got several level two spells, but they can only do it once. They can only do one once, right? And if you actually do a level one spell in your level two slot, it means you can't do a level two slot. Like, so it's that whole kind of like, it's a really great way. Have a look online. There's someone else has explained it a lot better than me, but it's actually quite a good way of putting, it's like I've pushed through and got these things done, but means I have no energy for this other stuff, right? For many people, these disabilities are invisible. While spoons are high, we might appear perfectly able in energy and behaviour, even though the very next task might be the last one we can do for the day before collapsing. Believe in visible disabilities. Now, I firmly believe that there are certain things, like, to me, it's like an expenditure and income. There are certain things that do give us spoons. Definitely rest, downtime, maybe having some food, like having like a really, really good interaction with someone. One of the things I do with spoon theory is I always talk to people about te whare tapa whā at the same time. Because if you picture, like you get the idea of spoon theory, and it's not just physical, it's not just emotional, it's not just mental, it's your social like spoons, it's also your spiritual. It's like it's all of those things at once. So kind of like how full is your spoon tank around social interactions? How full is your mental well-being tank for spoons? How's your emotional tank? How's your social, spiritual, physical? Like all, thinking about those in the different ways. But now we move on to the one that you may not have heard about before, fork theory. Forks are stressors. You can only cope with so many stuck in you before you hit your limit, and their very presence can limit your ability to spend and recover spoons. Anything makes you feel worse can be a fork, even as little as feeling hungry. Financial or relationship stress can be an even bigger fork. When you hit your limit, you're done. You can't handle anymore. This is essentially, especially relevant for neurodivergent people. Myself, for example, and this is Umbel Reaver speaking. So Umbel Reaver says, for example, sufficient forks can force me to cry uncontrollably for an hour or become nonverbal. Our forks may be so much different from those of neurotypicals, so much that they're invisible. So it can be that whole thing of like the things that are your stresses, like someone else might not have this as an issue. And this is especially a big thing for anyone who has sensory issues. Like, so if there's overhead lights that, or the light's flickering, or there's lots of different sounds happening at the same time and someone's trying to talk to you, or these people have had been having an argument near you. It's not argument with you, but it's just happening near you. Those are all stresses. Those are all forks. And it means your ability to cope and do things is could be really hampered. But what it means is that other people might not have those issues, so they don't notice them. It's totally invisible to them. So how an individual is able to handle quantity and size of forks varies greatly. You may be tolerant to any number of tiny forks stuck in you, but a single pitchfork can destroy you in one go. Or you may be able to tolerate a huge fork, but it leaves very little room for the small ones. The straw that breaks the camel's back can apply here, albeit in this case, it's a fork that does it, not a straw. And so it could be that if you've got so many forks in you, like it's who's had that moment where, you know, you go to make yourself a hot drink and there's no milk left, but there's an empty empty bottle in the fridge. Or you've realised you're out of sugar and you wanted to have like a hot chocolate in. Or you, whatever the thing is, it's like, or you're getting ready for something and you stub your toe. Or you realise the dryer didn't actually turn on, and so your clothes aren't dry. And it's just like, you know, it's that last little thing. The thing unto itself is really little. It's a very small fork. It's a very small stressor, but it's the end of the rope. You have nothing left to give, right? So having too many forks can mean you can't access your spoons, even if you're full up. Like, you might have loads, you might be mostly full of spoons, but like, too many forks means you can't get to the spoons, right? And dealing with removing forks themselves is a costly task. It takes spoons to deal with it. And if you've got a pitchfork, I always use the analogy, like, you know, stubbing your toes, like the world's smallest olive fork. It's only got two tiny little tines. And losing a loved one is a pitchfork, right? So the difference in what it would take, like, you could actually do something so you could cope with stubbing your toe and like feel okay about it, but you can't in a single action or in a single day deal with the pitchfork that is losing someone you love and care about, right? Sometimes the only thing you can do is abandon your current situation and try to remove the fork so you can get rid of it, remove the fork you can get rid of fastest. Sometimes those forks are people. And sometimes that's where we find ourselves having to step away from situations, having to remove ourselves, having to set boundaries, maybe having to go low or no contact, maybe adjusting how we interact with people. Sometimes what that is actually, like, a lot of people talking about sensory concerns, is a lot of people wear headphones when they go to places so that they can actually, noise cancelling headphones, so that they actually aren't getting those stresses, aren't getting those forks of all the noises around them or people talking to them. And so that can be a really great way of dealing with it. So knife theory. Sometimes you're out of spoons, or you're just too full of forks to access them, but you decide to keep going. You just want to push through. The only thing left in the drawer are knives. A knife represents overspending of energy that draws from the future. So I used to call this, before I saw about knife theory, I used to call this borrowing tomorrow's spoons. So it's that whole idea. We've all know that feeling of, like, we need to get this done. We're going to push through. It doesn't matter. We're just going to be exhausted tomorrow. So I always had that I just stole some of tomorrow's spoons. But I really like this. It's like, you know, you used all your spoons. There's no forks left because they're all stuck in you. And so the only thing left in the drawer is knives. So a knife represents overspending of energy that draws from the future to push yourself, sometimes dangerously beyond your limits. A knife can be spent in place of a spoon. Again, varying in size and amount depending on the individual and the task at hand. It can be that this works and you get it done, but you know tomorrow it will cost you. Knives can hurt. Each spent will take away one spoon from tomorrow. They might take more. And that means without so many spoons, you can only spend further knives. This can result in a spiral that ever-increasing fatigue, or the spiral of ever-increasing fatigue until you have nothing left to spend but knives, and you reach your limit of those and crash. Amoriva shares that I've had days where I slept over 20 hours due to extreme overspending. Sometimes the after effects last the rest of the week. Not all disabled people can even reach for those knives, so be considerate when someone can't push themselves, even if you think they should. Consider just how much harm it can do to perform this exertion. And so one of the things I love about this is the idea of how I use knife theory or knife hypothesis is that there's no spoons left. They're all gone. All the forks are stuck in you. Everything's hard. And there's only thing left is a knife, right? It's a butter knife. A bunch of them in the drawer, and you've got porridge to eat. Now, technically, you can eat porridge. You can make porridge and eat porridge with a butter knife. It's possible. It's also very, very slow. And depending on if you misjudge, you might give yourself what's possibly going to feel a little bit like a paper cut on your tongue. And it's going to take so much energy, right? And you're just not going to have a good time about it, right? If you find yourself, there's those moments where we're just like, we have to get this done. Maybe there's a deadline for school or work. Maybe you have to look after your kids when you're physically sick. Whatever it is, we go, like, we're going to make it happen. We're going to push through and we're going to do it, right? And we might be really low on spoons and physical well-being. Like, we might have no physical energy left. Or it might just be we have to do a social thing. We have no social spoons left. Or it might be everything is really low and we're just like, I'm so boring from the future. And I just know tomorrow, the next day, maybe the day after, I'm going to have to crash. And it's that thing of knowing ourselves And I always think that it can be really, really important. And this is where definitely replenishing spoons is rest. And especially this comes very, very true when you're talking about having used knives. Because if you have run out of spoons, you're full up of forks and you've started using knives, tomorrow, the next day, at some point soon, you just need to rest. You need to let the natural experience of the knives getting going away and the spoons replenishing, because anytime you used a knife today, tomorrow you have one less spoon. So any knife used today is one less spoon tomorrow. And so once that time's gone past, then you can start regaining those spoons again. Like it's, and everyone's different, like depending on how much energy has been spent, right? Some people it's 24 hours, sometimes it's a week, depending on yourself and what's going on. And it's really important to recognize that sometimes if we've used up all our spoons, we're totally full of forks and we started using knives, actually one of the things that can happen is that we get run down and we get physically sick. Like we get colds, flus, pick up bugs, get a stomach bug, whatever. And so that then means you automatically are starting out each day with less spoons because they've been used up for your body trying to deal with being physically sick. So hopefully this has worked. I'm not sure how well. Normally I can draw diagrams, so doing it on the radio is a little bit different. Hopefully this is giving you some ideas and giving you kind of like some language to use to actually go, hey, this is one of the things that I could actually use for myself to kind of work out how I'm doing things and how you describe it to other people. And I have to say, I have taught everyone around me about spoon theory, especially, and I've now started doing spoon theory, fork theory, and knife hypothesis. I can almost say that word. I definitely can't spell it because I really like it. Spoons are about things that it's the energy, amount of energy you have to spend, and some of the things that can give you energy. Forks are the stresses in life, and it's the things that make it really hard to feel okay. And it's what happens when you're out of spoons, right? Or it takes away spoons. Knives are what you use when you have no spoons left, right? And it's just definitely going to be you're borrowing from the future. It's going to cost you in the future. And I find talking about that to people, like light bulbs go off. And it just makes such a difference to be able to like say, hey, this is where I'm at. I'm out of spoons. There's too many forks. Or you are like, hey, I've got these couple of little forks. I just need to talk it over with someone to kind of work out what I'm doing. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play us a series of support lines so that if you find yourself where you're kind of running out of spoons, you've got too many forks and you're like, I don't want to start using the knives to eat my porridge. What you can do is you can ring out, like reach out, talk to someone and say, hey, I need some help with whatever's going on. So grab a pen and paper, write some of these down. So if you ever need them, you've got them.
So the first support line that I want to give you is 1737. Now, that's pretty much what it's called. So need to talk. 1737. It's a free call or text service and it's available 24/7, so 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you'll get to talk or text with a trained counsellor and this service is completely free. So if you're feeling anxious or run down, depressed, needing to talk to someone, give them a call or give them a text. 1737. The next number I want to give you is the Crisis Assessment Team, or CAT team, and their number is 0800 50 50 50. So that's assistance for people who are in crisis in the Waikato DHB region. So they're a crisis assessment team, they're part of the community mental health, so they are kind of like right up there with when things are going really, really wrong. It's very urgent care is needed around mental health. So that number again is 0800 50 50 50. The next number I want to give you is Lifeline. So Lifeline is an amazing service. It's a 24-hour telephone support service available for anyone needing emotional support. So 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now their number is 0800 543 354. And they have trained counsellors and just amazing people that you can have a talk to no matter what time of day it is. The next number I want to give you is the Depression Helpline. Now, the Depression Helpline is related to depression.org.nz. You may have seen some of their ads around, like the with John Kirwan. They have a whole lot of videos on the online service, but this is the phone line service. So Depression Helpline, 0800 111 757. Now, they're if you just have someone, you need someone safe to talk to, they're available from 8 a.m. in the morning to midnight. And they're a really great service, just someone calm and like gentle to talk to about whatever's going on for you. Now, the next number I've got for you is not a mental health support line. It's actually the health line. So it's health information service for all the family, and it's staffed by registered nurses who will give information and advice. I have used this line. It's for general health, medical health, physical health, and it's really amazing because sometimes when things are going wrong with your body, you don't know what's happening. You're not sure if we need to go the ambulance route or you need to go to the hospital. They're trained nurses, so they will actually ask you a bunch of questions. You can answer them, and they'll let you know what you need to do, and it's a huge relief. So the Healthline number is 0800 611 116, and that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The next number I want to give you is the Suicide Prevention Helpline. Now, this is support, information and resources to people who are at risk of suicide and or the family of family or whānau and friends supporting them. Now, it's available from midday to midnight and their number is 0508 Tautoko, which is 0508-828-865. Now, the next number I want to give you is the Shine Confidential Helpline. And the Shine Confidential Helpline specialises in domestic violence to help keep people safe from abuse. So their number is 0508 744 633. And the last number that I want to give you is I want to give you the Outline. Now this is a Gay and Lesbian Outline New Zealand. So it's support for people, gay and lesbian people, who want to have someone to talk to about whatever's going on around that, because quite often we need a bit of extra support, and when you're not getting that support, that can definitely lead to mental health stuff. So this is a really great line. So the Outline, their number is 0800 688 5463.
Now, don't stress if you missed any of those contact details for any of those support lines. I do play that at the end of every show of Fighting Stigma or Hiasa, when Hiasa is running the show. So come back again next week on Free FM on Thursday at midday and have a listen and grab those numbers. So hopefully this is giving you a few ideas. So go away, have a look up on the internet, talk to some people about spoon theory, fork theory, knife hypothesis, unified cutlery theory, and hopefully it will make a difference. But from us all here, take care.
At Progress to Health, we provide a range of support for those who have experienced mental illness. People who have dealt with mental illness and associated disabilities are supported holistically to maximise their potential. We want to empower your journey to recovery. Check out our website, www.progresstohealth.org.nz, or call us free on 0800 77 57 57.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.